Is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
And then, Madam Chair, I apologize. I forgot to ask for Investigator White to do the same. If I can have him come on the line for a minute. Andrew, are you there?
Yes.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board received a complaint from Massage Envy concerning client AS, who made allegations against the respondent in July 2020, which stemmed from a spa treatment that occurred in July 2014. AS alleged that during the massage therapy session with respondent, he undraped her front side, exposing her breasts, questioned her regarding her nipple piercings, massaged her genitalia, and digitally penetrated her, and she could not move. AS alleged that respondent continued until he lifted the draping and attempted to perform oral sex on her. At this point, AS said no and got off the table. The respondent was no longer employed by Massage Envy by the time AS filed her complaint with their office, and she did receive 2 refunds. After hearing from the complainant at the board's October 2020 meeting, the board voted to proceed to formal interview in this matter. The respondent did not appear at that meeting. And this concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. To the complainant, in order to protect your privacy, we will only use your initials to identify you.
Okay.
So that will be AS. And to the complainant, are you represented by legal counsel today? Okay.
Me, no.
Okay. I am Victoria Bowman. I'm chairman of the board. The other board members will now introduce themselves. Let's go in order on our little agenda sheet. Is Emily Clark on the board or on the call?
Chair Clark here.
Mr. Ramsey.
Public member Nick McLean.
John Ortega, public member.
Kevin Ramsey, professional member.
Thank you. I have already introduced the staff members and counsel earlier. We have Kathy Rich, Andrew White, Tony Wilcox, Tom Augerton, our executive director, Andrea Cisneros, and Seamus Monahan, our attorney. We have read the materials you provided. The proceeding is being audiotaped. Everyone must speak loudly and clearly, and only one person can speak at a time. Please identify yourself either by initials or your name when asking questions, or we know who's going to be answering. So to the complainant, could you briefly tell us about your complaint?
I used to see Mr. Martinez pretty regularly for sports massage therapy sessions, and in this day in particular, I had seen him enough and gotten pretty comfortable with him that I forgot how it got brought up, but, you know, he did ask about if I had any piercings or something, and I mentioned that I had my breasts done, and he asked if he could take a peek, and I was like, yeah, whatever. And he looked at it real quick, and he's like, oh, cool, you know, whatever. Kept doing the massage normal, you know, like, whatever. And then that's when he started going lower, and that's when I froze, and I just kind of laid there, kind of like in disbelief of what was going on. And just like, I don't remember who it was that stated the case, had said that he did, you know, start. Sorry, I'm not trying to be too loud. My kids are in the other room. He did start fingering me, and when, you know, like he pulled the drape down and I noticed his head getting close to my genital area. And that's when I kind of like really freaked out and kind of like snapped out of it in a sense. It's the only way I could really explain it, because when everything else was going on, I was just laying there kind of in shock and disbelief and couldn't move. I almost felt like I was being physically restrained down, even though I wasn't. I don't know how else to explain it. Just mentally, I was just in this state of like shock. And I don't know if it was the undraping of the blanket that kind of like, you know, really kind of made things like, hey, you know, like something's going on, you know, like it's not just. And, you know, I opened my eyes, because usually when I get massages, I keep my eyes closed. You know, I opened my eyes and I actually got the visual of him. And that's when I freaked out and I said, no, I sat up, you know, and that's basically when I kind of snapped out of it. And he left the room. I got dressed and, I don't know how long this took. I know that it went over the session, because whenever I went out to check out, the people at the front desk thought I had already left. So, I mean, to me, it felt like it was forever. It could have been 5 minutes. I don't know. I just know that basically it was towards the very end of my session. And when I went to go check out, the people at the front desk thought I had left already, because it was whatever time it was over.
Thank you. We will now hear from the licensee, Mr. Martinez.
Yes. I have no recall of this ever happening at all. I don't know what else to say. I firmly believe this did not happen at all.
What do you recall about the session, sir?
I don't. I don't recall any of it.
You don't recall doing a session for AS that day at all?
No, sir.
Do you have records that show that the massage took place for that day in question?
Do I have records? No, yes, I don't. Sir. No, I don't, sir.
Mr. McClain, we have the soap notes attached to the file.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. White.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Martinez. Are there any questions from the board that they would like to make, any questions they would like to pose to AS?
Yes, this is Vice Chair Clark. AS, why did you wait so long to report this? Sometimes the longer something takes, the less our memories can remember certain incidences. So I was just kind of curious why you waited so long to make the formalize the complaint.
Well, I had mentioned it in the last meeting that we had when Luis wasn't present, that when it happened, because of the fact that I was frozen and I didn't do anything and I was just scared. I didn't even tell my husband about this. Sorry. I don't know why it is when I bring up my husband is when I start getting emotional. We had moved away from Arizona, which is where this happened. We had moved away. We moved to California. And when we were there, I finally told my husband about it, because I thought that if I told him while we were there that my husband would probably be one of the crazy people that would end up showing up at the massage place and hurting him or something, you know? So in a sense, I was doing it to protect him, even though I shouldn't have.
But anyways, so my husband, we were at a meeting. He has PTSD. He's military. I was there to support him. It was a meeting that you are able to bring family members in so that they can better understand how PTSD works and everything like that. And so they were, you know, they had the whiteboard, they were drawing stuff out, they were talking about the fight or flight response. And they had mentioned the third branch from the fight or from that being freeze. And so that was the first time I had ever heard of freeze. I always hear about fight or flight. You never hear about freeze. And so it was the first time that I felt, in a sense, validated about the fact that when he was doing this to me, I laid there like a dumbass, not doing anything, just frozen in fear. So, sorry, let me get a minute to calm down. So being at that meeting with my husband that was supposed to be for him opened my eyes as to what happened to me. I was like, okay, so it's not just fight or flight. There is a freeze option in a sense. So that's when I told my husband about what happened to me, because at the meeting, I started crying, and my husband looked at me like, why are you crying? Where, you know, like, I'm the one dealing with PTSD, basically. I excused myself from the meeting that he was in, and I told him that I'd talk to him when we got home. And when we got home is when the first time I ever told my husband about this happening to me. I am now in another state. I don't want to disclose that because my aggressor is in the room, but I have a daughter. She is about to turn 16. I also have a son that's 3 years old. I was watching some documentaries on TV, and it was on sexual abuse. And some of the people that, you know, that, sorry, I stutter a little bit when I get it. I was watching the documentary, and the victims in there were talking about how it's never too late to come forward, blah, 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 whatever. And so I had called the massage envy that he worked at, and I had asked if he, you know, if he still worked there. They said no. I was like, okay. And I kind of, you know, told them what happened and if they knew if he was still working or not, because I don't want this happening to anybody else. And they told me they couldn't disclose that information. And basically, I was just kind of wanting to protect other people. I did not expect this to get to where it's at. You know, I understand, you know, if there's a complaint, it's going to have to go up. And, you know, it's not just like, oh, okay, you told us that. All right, have a good day, you know. So I honestly wasn't expecting it to blow up in a sense. But, I mean, I'm glad I'm going forward through it, because I can't help but think of my daughter becoming older. She's a teenager, you know, like if something were to happen to her like this. You know, why it took me years to come forward and stuff, I don't know. I hear about this happening to a lot of victims. They're too ashamed. I didn't want to tell my own husband until I was states away, because I thought that my husband would hurt him. And I'm not a violent person. I don't want anybody to be hurt or anything, but I also do believe that if he's done this to me, I'd like, I don't want this to happen to anybody else, or has it happened to somebody else and they're just too scared to come forward.
Thank you. Thank you, AS. Vice Chair Clark, do you have other questions for AS?
No, I don't.
Okay. Other board members, do you have questions for AS? Okay. Okay. So now let's go to Mr. Martinez. Are there any board members that have questions for Mr. Martinez?
This is Kevin Ramsey. Mr. Martinez, do you remember having AS as a client of yours for several sessions?
No, sir, I do not.
So even though you've seen her three times in what looks like 6 weeks, you don't have recollection of any of those sessions, any notes that you may have taken, any sort of events from those days?
No, sir. I'm sorry to say, though, my memory is not good at all. I have a hard time remembering even what I did yesterday.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Martinez, this is Board Chair Bowman. The question I would like to ask you is, why did you ask about piercings? Is that a common question you ask your clients?
I cannot see how a therapist will ask that question. I don't remember asking that question at all. So as a therapist, I don't understand why that question would be asked in the first place.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other board members, do you have questions for Mr. Martinez?
This is Board Member McLean. I have a question for Mr. White. I'm not sure if it's something that he can answer or not, or if it's appropriate for this, but do we have in this last seven-year period any other allegations or complaints that have been brought up in regards to Mr. Martinez?
None that I know of.
Thank you, sir.
But, you know, it's one thing I always found out is that if the individual who allegedly makes an assault of an individual, a lot of times when people see that individual has been brought before a justice or the board, they then come out and say, you know, he did that to me. So, and we've seen that a lot in a lot of different cases as of late. Football player, Bill Cosby, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, the movie director. So it's not uncommon that someone holds in a complaint or feeling for years. I'm talking about, it's been cases up to 30 years. So it's not off the record that kind of thing happens.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Martinez? So I would like to ask if the licensee has any other additional remarks to make at this time.
No, ma'am, I don't.
Thank you. And do the board members have any additional questions for AS or Mr. Martinez or board staff? Okay, the board will now deliberate. After a formal interview, the board may take any of the following. A, dismiss if the information is without merit. B, file an advisory letter. C, order continuing education in order to rehabilitate and educate. D, order the payment of restitution. E, file a letter of reprimand. F, issue a decree of censorship. G, adopt findings of facts, conclusions of law, and impose probation or suspend the licensee for less than 12 months and or restrict the licensee's practice, or D, refer to formal hearing. So I would like to call on each board member to give their view about the case and how it should be decided. So Let's see. I will start with Ms. Clark.
Thank you, Board Chair. It's obvious from what we've heard that evidently something did take place. And as a massage therapist of 11 years myself, I know it's difficult to remember every single client and every single session that I have ever had at any time and remember everything that ever happened. It's extremely difficult to know that unless you've got a photographic memory and remember everything. Obviously, on the part of AS, I believe that something did happen. And as we have understand from many cases that we have heard and other things in public news, sometimes it does take a while for an individual that has been assaulted to come forward because of the fight or flight or freeze or possible shame or embarrassment or whatever to make a complaint against someone that has assaulted her. I believe something did happen. However, not understanding how someone cannot, you know, completely remember a specific incident that may or may not have taken place, I find it kind of hard to really do anything substantial. So I'm kind of leaning towards some very strong CEs to make sure this doesn't happen again, to be board approved and within a certain specific time that we can discuss after we've heard from everybody else.
Thank you. Did you have another point to add? Excuse me.
No, I'm good.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ortega.
Yes, this is John Ortega, public member. Yes, I also, you know, it's only we only need 51%, and that 51% has to go to the complaint, in my view anyway, just listening to them both. I also think that we can settle it here with a suspension or classes or things of that nature. And that's my view on it. I mean, you know, time has a way of changing the memories and things like that, but I basically believe her. And well, that's just what I'm thinking right now.
Thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Yeah, this is Kevin Ramsey, professional member. I'm also leaning towards the opinion that something did occur on this day. You know, like Ms. Clark said, you know, it can be to keep track of every single person that you've worked with over the years. But at the same time, the details in this one are pretty heavy. You know, it's with notice of this hearing being given, you know, several months ago, I would think that, you know, a respondent would be hopefully a little bit more prepared or try and dig into some details to get some details to speak about or character reference or something like this. But, you know, I agree with John Ortega that, you know, we could probably settle this today, suspension, heavy CEs, things like that.
Board members, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I just want to point out, remember that if you are going to take disciplinary action, you will need to be able to articulate findings of fact and conclusions of law based on the evidence that we have. And so I just want you to think about that before you make your decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. McLean?
This is Nick McLean, a public member. Basically, my thoughts are along with everyone else in regards to identifying or accepting that something most likely took place, and then, of course, the recollection or trigger of it during the PTSD meeting. As Mr. Ramsey said, you would kind of hope that if somebody was being accused of something like this, they might try to take some type of action to either have a character reference, try to dig into the details, may be difficult with it being seven, almost 8 years ago, and then who knows what kind of records, you know, besides they might have still recovered. With the amount of time that's taken place, though, I don't know if a suspension would be called for versus the continuing education hours.
Thank you. This is Board Chair Bowman. I'm in agreement with everyone else. I do believe that something happened. And I think that, you know, the difficulty we have is the time frame that has gone forward, which is unfortunate, particularly with the business not having that many records and its memory changes. Not that the memory of what happened changes, but the fact that we can't get the information we need. My recommendation is a letter of concern, so that this is in the Arizona State Board of Massage Therapy's records and continuing education hours, so that we can basically be proactive in what probably happened. Mr. Monahan, do you have a comment you need to bring in at this point?
Absolutely. I just wanted to clarify, Madam Chair, members of the board, that was an advisory letter, correct? Not a letter of concern.
Okay, an advisory letter. Thank you.
And what would that? I know you haven't made the motion, but just to maybe, you know, create a foundation of what you were thinking, what would you base that advisory letter on?
In my mind, as Mr. Ortega brought up, that we go on preponderance of evidence, and so while we don't have anything we can substantiate, we do have the testimony of AS, and so the preponderance of evidence is something probably did happen, and that would be reason enough to have an advisory letter on file as well as continuing education hours.
Okay, and thank you for that, Madam Chair. But that is not a foundation for an advisory letter. The preponderance of the evidence is the standard that we have to meet as a board as far as dispositive evidence we put forward. I apologize. What I meant was, based on what conduct were you concerned about that you want this advisory letter to state in case anything happens again so that we can use this advisory letter to ratchet up the disciplinary action?
Oh, thank you. So for me, there was, he did not have a breast release, and while he may not have touched the breasts, he did ask to look at them. Secondly, there is inappropriate touching of the genitalia, and an attempt for more beyond touching, in the attempt to perform oral sex. So inappropriate sexual behavior, and I will let someone else come up with the actual statute number. Ms. Cisneros, you raised your hand. Would you like to speak, please?
I was just going to piggyback on what AAG Seamus, or I'm sorry, Monahan, was discussing. When considering the issuance of an advisory letter, you want to keep in mind that the language for the advisory letter is what he was referring to. So then if you do go back, if say there's a complaint that comes in the future against this respondent, we would have that advisory letter. Let's say, for example, an advisory letter for inadequate records. an advisory letter for inappropriate sexual misconduct, something of that sort. So when you do get to the motion phase, when someone is prepared to make a motion, you want to keep in mind that you do need to come up with the caption of that advisory letter so that that gets plugged into the file. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Madam Chair, this is Seamus Monahan. Just to add, you do not need findings of fact or conclusions of law for an advisory letter. So you don't have to come up with a statute for that or the continuing education.
Okay. So under an advisory letter, my reasons for that would be inappropriate sexual behavior during a massage.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Kevin Ramsey. I'm kind of thinking, you know, the basis of an advisory letter might be, you know, the potential of committing an act of malpractice, gross negligence, or incompetency, engaging in conduct that could result in harm or injury to the public, and the potential for sexual misconduct. Is that something agreeable in language?
This is Nick McClain, public member. I would agree with Mr. Ramsey as well. I think in an instance like this, we want to have something in the file in case somebody else does come forward. I don't think CEs are going to matter to somebody like this if this actually took place. I'm not sure what correct action it would take care of from 7 years ago, but that advisory letter will definitely make us all aware if something else came up and that we would see that this was a pattern of conduct.
Yes, Mr. Monahan, you have a comment, please?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Just to Member McClain's point, if we are, you know, if the board is going down the route of an advisory letter and CEs, You are going to want to make sure that the advisory letter and the order for CEs is for separate issues. You wouldn't want to issue an advisory letter and CEs for the same thing because the order of continuing education functions exactly like an advisory letter if it's for the same thing, if that makes sense.
Thank you. So the question I would like to propose to the board is, it's been almost 7 years or 7 years, and for me, while we could impose continuing education hours, I feel that an advisory letter in his file is more important than the CEs at this time, so that future boards would be aware of one possible misconduct. Would other board members like to weigh in on that?
I agree.
John Ortega, I agree with that.
Emily Clark, I agree.
Okay. Does any board member wish to make a motion?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I'll make the motion. Please, AAG Monahan or Ms. Cisneros, please correct my language for the motion if necessary. I'm going to move that we issue an advisory letter for case 21-109, Luis Martinez. The advisory letter will be founded on the basis of the licensee committing an act of malpractice, gross negligence, or incompetency, engaging in conduct that could result in harm or injury to the public, and the potential for sexual misconduct.
Snake McClain, member, I'll second.
Okay. Ms. Cisneros, did you have a clarification that you needed before the second?
I'm sorry. I kept up with you halfway through, and then you lost me right before you got to that last part. That was for committing active malpractice, gross negligence, or incompetency, engaging in conduct that's where I lost you.
Engaging in contact that could result in harm or injury to the public, and potential sexual misconduct.
And do you want to say potential sexual misconduct with a client?
Yes.
And then, Mr. McLean, you were the second to that motion, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Monahan, do we have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed?
That was beautiful. Wonderful job, guys.
Okay, Mrs. Narrows, could we have a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Roll call vote for, and I'll repeat the motion one more time quickly. An advisory letter for this case for committing an act of malpractice, gross negligence, or incompetency, engaging in conduct that could result in harm or injury to the public, and potential sexual misconduct with a client. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. Thank you to AS and to Mr. Martinez for being present today. Mr. Martinez, you will be reached and communicated by board staff. Thank you very much. Okay.
Madam Chair, my apologies.
Yes.
Before we lose the parties that are on the line, I did want to clarify that an advisory letter is non-disciplinary, but it will remain a permanent part of the individual's record.
Yes, thank you. Okay, let's move on to case 21-113, Fabian Garcia. Okay, is Mr. Garcia on the line? Okay, and is DS on the line?
Yeah, she's on the line.
Okay, Mr. McLean, you have a question?
Yes, I'm just going to let you know I'm going to use this break between cases to step out for the other meeting, and I will get back on as soon as I'm able to, probably about an hour to hour and a half.
Okay, thank you very much for being in attendance. We still maintain a quorum, for we have four of the five board members. Thank you, Mr. McLean. Okay, get back to my. It is now 10:10 on March 29th, 2021. This is a formal interview of Fabian Garcia in the case number 21-113. If the complainants are present, we will hear from the complainants before the interview of the licensee. Is the complainant here, who is going to be known as DS?
I'm here.
Thank you. To board staff, would you give us a brief summary of the case?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. This is Andrea. Before we proceed, I do want to get confirmation whether or not the respondent is on the line. And if not, we may need to hear from the Assistant Attorney General about how to proceed.
Okay. Is Fabian Garcia on the line? If so, please unmute yourself and make yourself known. Is there an attorney on the line representing Mr. Garcia at this time?
I do not see him on the line.
Okay, thank you, Mr. White. Mr. Monahan, how shall we proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. There's several ways you can proceed in this matter. You can continue the formal interview to next month and re-notice Mr. Garcia. However, he does not have to be here, and that may be why he is not. So you have all of your non-disciplinary tools at your disposal right now. However, if you do want to take disciplinary action after reviewing the case today, then what you're going to want to do is move it to a formal hearing and offer a consent agreement in lieu of the formal hearing if you feel that you can adjudicate it that way.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Cisneros, would you give us a summary of the complaint?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. One more thing before I proceed. My apologies. Would you like for me to swear in the complainant first?
If that's appropriate, we can do that. And also, do we need to swear in Mr. White?
Yes.
Okay, so proceed with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Investigator White and DS, if you could please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
This is DS. I do.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the board, in case number 21-113, the board received a complaint concerning client DS, who presented to Elements Massage in September of 2020 for a spa treatment. DS stated that respondent massaged her left leg while she laid in the prone position, covered with a sheet, with only her left leg exposed. During the massage, respondent removed the sheet to expose DS's entire buttocks and pulled the backside of her underwear down below her buttocks. DS stated respondent proceeded to place his hand in between her legs until his fingertips were resting on the superior anterior part of her vulva. She stated he applied pressure to her vulva in a circular and pulsing rhythm and asked if she wanted him to go deeper. DS stated that she was flustered and asked him to reapply pressure to her hips, which he did, but he then proceeded to use his right hand again to grab inside of her left thigh and again applied a circular pulsing pressure to her anterior vulva. DS asked the respondent to press on her hips in an attempt to have him move from the area. Respondent snapped her underwear back into place, reapplied the sheet, and stated that the massage session was over. DS reported the incident to Elements Massage, the board, as well as the Phoenix Police Department. The board previously heard from the respondent and the complainant at its October 2020 meeting and voted to proceed to formal interview in this case. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Victoria Bowman, Chairman of the Board. The other board members will now introduce themselves.
Vice Chair Clark.
This is Kevin Ramsey, professional member.
John Ortega, public member.
Thank you. Staff has been previously introduced. I will go back through Andrew White, Kathy Rich, Tony Wilcox, Executive Director Tom Ogerton, our helper Andrea Cisneros, and our attorney Seamus Monahan. We have read the material you provided. This proceeding is being audio taped. Everyone must speak loudly and clearly, and only one person may speak at a time. Ms. DS, is there anything more you would like to tell us about the complaint?
I think the only detail I might add that would help to elucidate the how sexually driven into that movement was that he thought I was like sexually stimulated by what he did. He very clearly his hand in between my legs pressed on my clitoris and began pulsing, and then like in a whispered tone was like, "Want me to go deeper?" And it was definitely like one of those freeze responses where I just didn't know what to do, and I just asked him to put his like to work my hip again. But there was definitely sexual stimulation, and then just like absolute fear and pain, and just trying to not freak out, which is totally stupid.
Thank you. Has the licensee joined us on the call? Okay. board members may now ask questions. And so the first thing I want to say, DS, is please don't think that it's stupid. Thank you for coming forward with your side of this. I don't think I have any questions at this time. Are there other board members that would like to ask questions?
Not at this time.
Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions for the complainant?
Not at this time.
Okay, Mr. Ramsey?
none for the complainant, no.
Okay, so in light of this, the board will now deliberate. After a formal interview, the board may take any of the following actions. A, dismiss if the information is without merit. B, file an advisory letter. C, order continuing education in order to rehabilitate and educate. D, order the payment of restitution. E, file a letter of reprimand. F, file a decree of censure. G, adopt findings of facts and conclusions of law, and impose probation, suspend the licensee for less than 12 months, and or restrict the licensee's practice, or H, refer to a formal hearing. So I would like each board member to review the case and how they believe that it should be decided. All board members should get a chance to speak before any member has a second time. And so I think I will start with Mr. Ortega.
Once again, I believe the complaint is something that something did happen. We could move it to a formal hearing, but we could also just settle it here with stiff penalties.
I apologize for cutting in. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, Madam Chair, members of the board. Let me clarify again. If you are contemplating taking any disciplinary action today, it cannot be ordered. It can only be offered in a consent agreement, and if not accepted, moved to formal hearing. Just to clarify, I know I wasn't as clear for the first time.
John Ortega, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, thank you. So what we can do if we want to impose penalties is to offer a consent agreement for what we believe is an appropriate consequence of actions. And then if not accepted, we would automatically go to a formal hearing. So, Mr. Ortega, in light that we could offer a consent agreement, what are your thoughts on what kind of penalties you feel are appropriate?
Well, the charges are very serious. I would have to think a suspension would be in order. But that's I don't know what anyone okay. else thinks, but that's my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Clark.
Well, definitely something did happen, but I don't see that we have any defense on the part of the respondent. I'm thinking that we may need some more information from the respondent. I don't know if they're willing to show up or not, or what's going on with them. I definitely know that there was something that going on.
Okay. Just if I can jump in here, Mr. Monahan, can you give us some clarification? And my other question is to Mr. White, did he receive appropriate communication from us, and was there any response? So, Mr. Monahan, I think you're first.
Yes, absolutely, Madam Chair. Vice Chair, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. Thank you for the question. It would be absolutely appropriate if you feel that you would like to speak to Mr. Garcia before taking action on this case to just move the formal interview to the next month. I am reviewing right now to check and see if the notice of the formal interview is in the packet. Andrew might be able to answer that better, though.
Okay. Mr. White, was Mr. Garcia served information on this meeting today?
Yes. Nothing returned. He was also emailed.
Okay.
And I see okay. It is in there. Thank you, Andrew.
It is in the packet. Okay. thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Madam Chair, my apologies for interrupting. I just wanted to point out for the board that the respondent did participate during the investigative review at its last meeting. So there was a point in time where the board did have the ability to question him. I just didn't want the board to think that he wasn't cooperating because he did participate in the last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cisneros. That answered my question. I don't have my notes from that meeting anymore. So, you know, I think we should be able to get a chance to hear from the respondent. And so if we want to move this interview to next month, then it would give an opportunity to speak with him.
Okay. Thank you. This is Chair Bowman. Well, my feelings are that he had a chance to come forward today. I don't know that I necessarily want to postpone it to another meeting in which he can come forward and then have DS have to go through her explanation again. I'm leaning heavily towards a consent agreement with a suspension of some kind and CEs. Because I believe something did happen, and he's not here to give us his side of the explanation, even though he was served. And another thing that leans me in this direction is that DS did report it to the location and then to the police department and then to the board, and that was done in a very timely fashion.
Looks like Mr. Ortega has a question.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes, my point also is how many times are we going to drag the complaint back here?
Thank you.
Mr. Garcia had a chance to be here today. And as much as we have to be fair to the accused, we also need to be fair to the complaint. And I'm just, this has already been going on since, well, for a while, so. Anyway, that's right. My thought on why we should finish it today.
Thank you. I think the question I would like to ask of the board members is, does anyone feel that this complaint would warrant a revocation of license instead of a suspension? In my estimation, it's rather serious.
Chair Bowman?
Yes.
I hear what you're saying, and if it happened with the complainant this time and it was done in a timely fashion that she made the reports and the complaints with the police department, the board, and also the facility that it happened in, I would be leaning towards a possible revocation, because if it happened this time, it could also happen again.
John Ortega, public member. Well, in that case, we just need to move it to a formal hearing then.
Mr. Monahan, can we offer a consent agreement for surrender of license and to have it go to a formal hearing if that is declined?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. You have that option at your disposal. If you believe that the evidence substantiates and warrants revocation of the license.
Mr. Ramsey, do you have an opinion here?
No, it all excuse me. It all makes sense. I mean, you know, thinking back to my initial statement, you know, he has been given notice. You know, he's had every chance to be here today. You know, he's chosen not to show up or have anything presentable for himself, so I would be on board with Mr. Ortega's suggestion.
And is that a suggestion of suspension or a suggestion of revocation?
I think revocation makes sense here.
This is Board Chair. My opinion is to go for revocation, and should he choose to decline that, then he can come forward in a formal hearing and explain to us why he thinks it shouldn't be revocation, and we could then consider a severe suspension of, say, 1 year with CEs, and that's the direction that I would like to go.
John Ortega, yes, I would agree with that.
I'll agree with that, Board Chair.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So now I'm going to ask Ms. Cisneros, since we need to establish conclusions of law and findings of fact in order to put this...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If you want to make the motion first, and then we can work on the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Okay, so I will, Chair Bowman, I move that we offer Fabian Garcia, case number 21-113, a consent agreement for surrender of license in this case. And if that is not accepted, then it would move to a formal hearing.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
What would the time frame be for the respondent to sign the consent agreement? How many days would you like to give him?
3 days.
35. How many?
You to give him 20 days.
20 days?
Yes.
I thought it was 35, but...
35 for appeals.
Okay, thank you. So we'll give him 20 days. Thank you, Mr. White.
And then the matter would proceed to formal hearing for license revocation?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Monahan, is that in good order?
Yes, it is. And now you're just going to want to base that, and then you'll say that motion is based on the findings of fact as the factual allegations as presented in the investigatory report and the testimony given by DS.
Let it be stated as such in the record. Thank you.
And then,
I need a little help on conclusion of law, please.
Okay, and I think we should list the conclusions of law separately.
Okay, Ms. Cisneros, would you like to assist us on those?
Absolutely. First, Mr. Monahan, would it be more appropriate for the board to make one motion for the findings of fact and conclusions of law and then proceed with a second motion for the action as far as the consent agreement? Would that be a more appropriate order, or can we lump it all together in one motion?
We can lump it all together.
Okay. So what we have so far is the offering of a consent agreement for voluntary surrender. If that's not signed within 20 days, the case will proceed to formal hearing for license revocation. This is based on the factual allegations as set forth in the investigatory report and testimony given by DS. Seamus, how would you like it worded for the conclusions of law?
And as for the conclusions of law,
would it be to adopt the statutory violations as outlined in the investigation report?
Yes. Yes, that'd actually be the easiest way to do it.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Monahan, is that motion now complete?
That motion is complete, and if Andrew would please just read it back to make sure that we have it.
Absolutely. If you give me just a moment to type it up really quick, I'm going to reframe it so it's in a much better order. Can I get a second to the motion? And then if the board would like to start their discussion on the motion, I'll repeat it back to you one more time before we take a roll call vote.
Emily Clark, I second.
go ahead when you're ready, Ms. Cisneros.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion on the floor is for the board to offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender of licensure based on the factual allegations as set forth in the investigation report and testimony given by DS, to adopt the statutory violations as outlined in the investigation report as the board's conclusions of law. If the consent agreement is not signed within 20 days, the matter shall proceed to formal hearing for license revocation. And then I have as the motion maker, I believe that was the chair and the seconder is the vice chair.
That is correct. Will you now take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Thank you all for your patience. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean is currently absent. Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Okay. Thank you so much. Board staff, if you will take care of this, I would appreciate that. DS, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate your presence as well. And if there's any questions, we can call, please call the board's executive director at the board's office. This concludes our formal interview. Thank you. It's now 10:34. I would like us to take a 5-minute break. So if everybody would mute themselves and let's come back at 10:40. Okay, it is now 10:40, and this is Chair Bowman of the State Board of Massage Therapy calling the meeting back to order. Okay, our next case is Ubaydullah Wali, case number 21-117. If Mr. Wali is on the line, please let me know. And also, if complainant AL is on the line, let me know. And if either of you are represented by an attorney, I would appreciate that information as well. Mr. Wally, are you on the line? Mr. Wilcox, can you hear me?
Hear you just fine.
Yes, okay. We can hear you there.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't hearing anything, and I thought, uh-oh, am I in a glitch? Okay, thank you. Is AL on the line?
I am.
Okay, thank you very much for being here. And are you represented by an attorney?
No.
Okay. And is there an attorney present for Mr. Wally? Okay. It is now 10:41 on Monday, March 29th, 2021. This is a formal interview regarding Ubaydullah Wali, case number 21-117. Okay. My name is Victoria Bowman. I'm chairman of the board and professional board member. All other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a consumer or professional board member.
Emily Clark, professional member.
Kevin Ramsey, professional member.
John Ortega, public member.
Thank you. You have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the formal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. The purpose of the formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and decide the outcome. We will hear a brief summary of the case. First, I would like to ask for AL and Mr. White to be sworn in. Ms. Cisneros?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Thank you. Investigator White and AL, if I can please have you both raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Investigator White?
I said I do.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the board received a complaint from AL, who presented to Massage Green Spa for a spa treatment by the respondent. She stated that he massaged her back without incident and that after turning over, respondent proceeded to massage her without incident. When he began massaging her inner thigh area, he proceeded to place one hand on her inner thigh so his hand was resting right next to her vagina, and she could tell he was grazing her outer labia and pubic hair while one finger or thumb was close to her anus. AL alleged that respondent then proceeded to take his other hand and slide it under her underwear and run it across the top part of her pubic bone, touching her pubic hair, and that she felt her underwear moving aside and exposing her vagina. AL stated that she was trying to comprehend what was happening and how to handle the situation, while respondent was asking her every minute or so if the pressure was okay, and she stated that she could hear excitement in his voice. AL stated that she finally told respondent that where he was massaging was hurting her and had to tell him twice because he did not move away from the area the first time. Respondent finally moved away from the area, and AL ended the massage after realizing they had gone over time. AL did not tell the receptionist what happened and called the manager after leaving the building. AL also reported the incident to the Glendale Police Department in addition to the board. After hearing from the respondent and the complainant at the board's November 2020 meeting, the board voted to proceed to formal interview in this matter. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So complainant, or AL, we've heard a summary of the complaint. Is there anything that you would like to add to that?
Yes, there's a couple of things. Sorry, I'm nervous. Before I had scheduled the massage with Uba, like a week before I had the massage with Uba, I had attempted to schedule a massage with him and was told not to because by another therapist there at the spa, not to because his massage was questionable. So I scheduled a massage with someone else. Ended up having to schedule another one the following week, and there was nobody else available but Uba, so I went ahead and scheduled. After the massage happened, when I called the manager to tell her what happened, she apologized to me and said that she knew something was suspicious about Uba and wanted to see what, see if he tried anything on me. And she said she apologized for not warning me about that. I told the police that. I don't know if I told anybody on the massage board that, but, so there was that. And then the other thing that I didn't put in my report, it's just so much more disturbing to me than, you know, the offense itself, was the fact that I had been going through a lot of emotional stress when I came in to see Uba, and I needed to relieve that stress, and I told him that, and he ignored me and still did what he wanted to do. To me, that is just far more sinister than the act itself. He had this woman who verbally told him that she was in a vulnerable spot already, and he took advantage of that.
Excuse me. I apologize, AL. This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. These aren't relevant matters to the case at hand. We need to stick to what happened between you and Mr. Wally, please.
Well, you already got the details of what happened, and I'm telling you how I feel about it. And to me, that is very relevant. Do you have anything more to say about that, or can I continue talking?
Excuse me.
Have you ever laid on a table and had somebody violate you, Mr. Whoever the fuck you are?
Excuse me, AL. AL. This is
AL. AL. This is Chair Bowman. Please, let's remain in a civilized manner. We do understand the stress that can go on. So thank you. Since the licensee isn't present,
yes, he was notified of on paper and also emailed. I emailed him Thursday with the access codes. One thing I can say about him is that he has failed to respond to the initial investigative review, investigative packet. He also, during a police interview, refused to make a statement to the police in Glendale. So he hasn't cooperated with the investigation whatsoever. And the case has been put into a holding pattern. It's not closed. Put into a holding pattern at the precinct, waiting to find out if there's anyone else who's going to come forward with a accusation of sexual misconduct against Mr. Wiley.
Thank you, Mr. White. at this point, the board members.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Ms. Cisneros.
My apologies for interrupting you. I just wanted to point out that I went ahead and I muted the complainant. It is at the chair's discretion whether or not you would like to have her finish her statement. I think that would be appropriate at this time, so long as she's been informed of the appropriate board meeting decorum and letting her know that she will be muted by staff if the same continues. I also wanted to point out that I do have in my notes that the respondent participated in the investigative review portion of this case when it was previously heard by the board. So I just wanted to clarify that whether or not he was cooperative during the course of the investigation, my notes do say that he was here at the last meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Seamus Monahan. If I could clarify something, my intention was not to downplay AL's story. My intention was just to say that stories that have happened to other individuals that we don't have information on are not relevant to the matter today until we have that information.
Thank you. Okay, so Mr. Wilcox, if you would unmute AL, I would appreciate it. Okay, AL, this is Board Chairman Bowman, and we would like to hear from you. However, we do have to follow a certain decorum. And, okay, Mr. Wilcox, you raised your hand. What can I help you with?
Actually, she has to unmute herself.
So, AL, if you would unmute yourself, I would appreciate that. We would like to talk with you. We do need to follow a certain decorum here. And so we need to stay with what happened. And you may state that you were under stress. That's very understandable, especially in this field. But also we do not bring other cases into it, but the board would like to question you.
I didn't bring any other cases into I told you what happened leading up to the scheduled massage.
Yes.
Two other women told me they were concerned about Uga's massage. That is what I said, which is very relevant to this case. And then I explained how I felt during the session. You already have the details there. I'm not going to talk about it again. I've already done that once before. And that's all I have to say. I'm done.
Okay. Are you also a licensed massage therapist?
I am.
Okay. Thank you. And do you happen to know the licensed massage therapist that was working with Mr. Wally that cautioned you against perhaps having a massage with him?
I do.
You don't need to give us the name, but you do know that person?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other board members that would like to question AL at this time? Okay. The board will now deliberate. After a formal interview, the board may take any of the following. A, dismiss if the information is without merit. B, file an advisory letter. C, order continuing education in order to rehabilitate and educate. D, order the payment of restitution. E, file a letter of reprimand. F, issue a degree of censure. G, adopt findings and facts, conclusions and law, and impose probation, suspend the licensee license for less than 12 months, and or restrict licensee's practice, or H, refer for formal hearing. Would the board members like to give your views on the case and how it should be decided? Ms. Clark?
I'm kind of leaning in this case, because he's not been too cooperative in a lot of ways regarding this case. I would like to ask that we do a consent agreement to surrender his license, and if that is not done within 20 days, to bring it to a formal hearing so we can see about revoking his license, because this should not happen. Evidently, the complainant was warned, not once, but twice, not to have a massage because it was in question. His practices were evidently in question concerning them, and therefore, something did happen, obviously. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and weigh in on this as well. This is board chair. I think this is a case that deserves just what Vice Chair Clark suggested. It is indeed unfortunate that he was still working at that facility and that it was questionable by the manager, but apparently there wasn't enough evidence to be certain, and so for me the preponderance of evidence is such that I would also like to offer a consent agreement for surrender of license, again based upon the, I don't know how to say this, Mr. Monahan, on the evidence at hand as given by AL.
And yes, so absolutely. Based on the testimony given by AL.
AL, right. And, okay, and so, Mr. Ortega, would you please weigh in?
Well, if that's the direction the board wants to take, I guess I could be in general agreement with it. I will add, it's completely outrageous for management to keep this man on if they had those suspicions of him. This is a right-to-work state. You can fire anyone for any reason you want except for the protected classes. So I just find that outrageous.
Thank you. And Mr. Ramsey?
I agree. This instance seems pretty similar to the last case that we heard. You know, no response from the respondent. I would make a note, though, from looking up his license on the massage board directory, it does look like his license is expired and closed, and so I'm curious if that affects any action that we take today. Or
this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. As far as I know, and Andrew, please correct me if I'm wrong, but we issued the complaint before his license expired, so we have continuing jurisdiction over him.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, any time that a complaint generates, even if the license is over 3 years, they can still go back. We can still bring them back before the board, and we can still go.
Yeah, Andrew, once their license is expired, if we haven't issued the complaint, we don't have jurisdiction over them anymore.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Yes, that's just who I was going for. Mrs. Sneros, would you like to give us an overview of what we're looking at, and then we'll form a motion?
I just wanted to clarify one more thing on what we were just talking about with the license with Mr. Monahan. Is it true that when the board receives a complaint against a licensee whose license is up for expiration during the course of the investigation, that that expiration is actually suspended? So the license enters a suspension phase while the case is being considered by the board. Would that be true for the massage board? I know it is for other boards. That's why I just wanted to clarify.
Well, semantically, yes. So if the license is expired, the board could still take action against him. But you're going to want to look at what type of action you want to take, seeing as how he's not practicing anymore. So it may want to be something that, you know, penalizes them for acts they committed instead of ongoing continuing education and practice restriction and things like that, if that makes sense. Something more along the lines of maybe even a civil penalty.
So then once the board takes final action in this matter, the license is expired. He would actually have to reapply. And then once he does reapply, the board would have this information as part of the file for them to consider at that time too. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that the board understood that part of it. While you do still have jurisdiction over the license at this time, Seamus is right, where if you're going to institute some sort of remediation efforts or action, it sort of wouldn't make sense at this point, because once final action is taken in this case, that's gonna close out the license at this point.
Thank you very much, both of you. I appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, I'll wait until you make your motion.
No, well, I'm just wondering, do we need to make a motion first, or would you give us a...
It'll be similar to the previous case.
Right.
So if you would like to make the motion, and then we'll grab a second on the record, and then I can repeat back to you how it's been formulated.
Okay, would a board member like to make a motion in case 21117 of Ubaidullah Wali?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I will move that we offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender of license in the case of 21-117 Ubaidullah Wali.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Thank you. Mrs. Narrows, would you assist us in the findings of facts and conclusions of law in this case?
And then read that
motion back to us prior to our vote?
Absolutely. If I can have the motion maker and the seconder confirm what I'm about to read back to you, that would be great. The motion is for the board to offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender of licensure based on the factual allegations as set forth in the investigation report and testimony given by AL, to adopt the statutory violations as outlined in the investigation report as the board's conclusions of law. If the consent agreement is not signed within 20 days, the matter shall proceed to formal hearing for license revocation. And I have Mr. Ramsey as the motion maker, and then Vice Chair Clark as the second.
Yes, that sounds good.
And Ms. Clark, is that do you choose to second that?
Yes.
Okay. Could we have a roll call vote, Mrs. Cisneros?
Absolutely. Madam Chair, did you want to entertain further discussion among the board members before we proceed to a roll call vote?
Is there any other comments a board member would like to make at this time prior to a vote?
Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair. Roll call vote for the motion in this matter. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
And then Mr. McLean has not rejoined us. He's currently absent. Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. The board has voted in this matter, and so if board staff will take care of the necessary documentations for Mr. Wali, that would be appreciated. If anyone has any questions, please call the board's executive director, Tom Augerton, at the board office. This concludes our formal interview. Thank you very much for attending this. And A.L., thank you for coming forward.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to point C, the investigative reviews, 21-121, Destiny Gillum. Is Ms. Gillum on the call at this time?
Yes, I am.
Please identify yourself.
Hi, yes, this is Sarah Stark. I am here with Ms. Gillum as her counsel, and she is also on the line.
Okay, state your name again, counsel.
Sarah Stark.
And are you private or are you with a firm?
I'm with Shelley Law, PLC, C-H-E-L-E.
Thank you. Mr. White, do you have that information?
Yes, I do. I have it on file.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask Mr. Monahan. I'm not exactly sure which little tab I go to for this.
For the investigative review?
Mm-hmm. Or just proceed forward with information.
You know, we can walk through it if you'd like. Basically, you know, you're just going to let them know this is... I have a short amount of time. Start with the complainant, then go back to the licensee. You'll ask questions, and at the end, you'll either refer it or you will order disciplinary action, non-disciplinary action. I apologize.
This is Investigator White. This is a complaint of improper advertisement, the one we was talking about last weekend. There's no complaint, and this is an anonymous complaint. So that's the issue being handled today.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Ms. Go ahead.
Thank you. It would be my suggestion that getting into the investigative review files the way that we've done in prior meetings, if we can start with a presentation from staff and then you would proceed to hear from the parties. This is an instance where neither will be sworn in under oath. It's just a session for the board to kind of gather more facts of the case to determine whether what else would be needed at this point. I do have presentations for these three files for the board.
Okay, thank you. Would you please offer us a summary of the complaint?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and board members. This is for case number 21-121. The board received a complaint from an individual that is requested to remain anonymous, alleging that the respondent was engaging in unlawful activities pertaining to her license and had been for some time. The complaint was accompanied by photos allegedly posted to Phoenix Rubs Ratings online, where it appeared that the respondent was advertising sensual massage directed to men after a screening process, and did include photos of women that were partially dressed in see-through clothing. And that's all that I have for my presentation. This one's fairly short. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Ms. Gillum, would you like to explain what yourself and what actions have been taken?
Hi, this is Sarah Stark. Am I permitted to make a brief statement on behalf of Ms. Gillum before the board begins
certainly.
Their questioning? Okay.
Certainly.
Thank you. Hi, this is Sarah Stark, and like I said, I'm counsel for Ms. Gillum. We provided a written response to the board, which stated the allegations contained in this complaint are completely false. To the best of her knowledge, there are no inappropriate or sexual photos or advertisements on the internet that relate to Ms. Gillum or of Ms. Gillum. Ms. Gillum is currently involved in a contentious breakup situation with an individual who has behaved violently towards her in the past. She has an order of protection against this person, but believes he submitted this complaint in order to further harass her and interfere with her life. Based on the conversations I've had with Investigator White and the content of the investigative report, there is no indication that any evidence has been uncovered to support any of these allegations. And because the allegations here are baseless, we would respectfully ask that the board dismiss this complaint. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. White,
yes.
Would you please update us on on your side of this, please?
Yes, I received this complaint October 15th, 2020. I sent out a questionnaire, investigative questionnaire, to find out exactly what was going on. I went on RUBS searching for the information that was sent in. It was on there one time, but it's not on there anymore. It's been removed. I don't think anything else will come out of this. If any complaints are generated, I will give I will get in contact with Ms. Starks, and we will work out a plan of action to see if we can cease this this type of complaints coming through against her. Now that I know the situation, I talked to Ms. Starks on, I think that was Friday, Ms. Starks, I believe.
Yes,
I told her that I checked again on the RUBS, and the items are not on there anymore. So the board can make a move what they want to do with it, but there's nothing else on the site at this time dealing with her.
Thank you, Mr. White. Do any of the board members have a question for Attorney Stark?
John, excuse me, John Ortega. It's not for Stark, but it's for our staff. Just a clarification, do we have statutory authority over advertising?
Yes, we do. Yes. It doesn't come much. I think this is only the third one I had since I've been here. And they're usually on RUBS or back one of the back pages. And one particular one is sex on video. But that's the most, and that was handled away from the board.
Board members, this is Seamus Monahan. Just real quick, I believe that this matter was handled before and that there was an adjudication. Is that true, Andrew? That this matter came before the board and there was an adjudication and she was the licensee was given a license?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And so this one, just for my clarification, it appears it was a ex-boyfriend, somebody involved in their life that was posting these pictures now?
Yes, that's the story that I received as of last week, yes.
Okay.
Mr. White, this is Board Chair. The question I have is there a way we can go back to the back page RUBS and get information from them as to who took that ad out?
No, it's like a clandestine site, and
okay.
They move stuff around in there, and you know you can move stuff around and hide stuff in there. And I did all kind of stuff like cross her name, went into her email name, her nickname, and nothing was in there that I could find. But if you go on the back page, you'll see people in there advertising, but they use codes, stuff like that. So it's almost impossible to track.
Okay.
Who's putting it in there?
Thank you. So let's just discuss for a moment what direction we want to go. In my own personal opinion, I would just dismiss this case. Mr. Ramsey?
Yeah, that sounds right to me. I'm looking at dismissal as well.
I agree, Ramsey and Board Chair.
Okay, Mr. Ortega?
Yes, dismissal seems appropriate.
Okay. So I move that the case 21-121, Destiny Gillum, be dismissed. This is Board Chair. Is there a second?
Finley Clark, second.
Okay. Let's just do a vocal vote on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposing? So 4-4, 1 is absent, so the motion passes. Thank you, Ms. Stark, for being with us today. We do appreciate that. And thank you. So let's go on to case 21-128, Danny Sean.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thank you very much.
Also, Madam Chair, Derek Sasueta, legal counsel on behalf of Danny Shea.
Okay. Spell your last name, sir.
Yes, my first name is Derek, D-E-R-E-K. Last name is Z-A-Z-U-E-T-A. And I have my own practice, and it's called Sasueta Law Group in Scottsdale.
Thank you.
I sent Mr. White kind of just a letter just stating that I was on the case. I also sent it to the info at board, the Arizona Massage Board.
Yes, I received it this morning when I came in. So I got downloaded into his profile.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, would you give us a summary of this?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board received notification from the Sheriff's Department regarding illegal massage activity at La Bella Reflexology Spa. In December 2020, a raid was conducted at the spa and citations were issued for unlicensed massage practice. It was reported that the staff at the spa were conducting massages without active massage therapy licenses. The respondent was issued a cease and desist order by the board in December of 2020. And that's all I have for my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. So I guess we have a few questions here. And I think, Seamus, I would ask this of you. Foot reflexology, while it is something that we study and can accept as continuing education, it is also an unlicensed modality in Arizona. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting case here. Can you weigh in on that?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what the question is. I believe that Mr. Shan is a licensee of this board, and that's what gives us jurisdiction over him.
Okay.
As far as reflexology, I couldn't speak accurately or intelligently about it.
Okay. So I think, and is Mr. Shan is on the phone as well?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, thank you. Would you like to explain to us what occurred?
Yes, I'm the owner of the La Bella Reflexology Spa, and then the incident was involved with one of my employees. I have my own massage license with Arizona as well. So the employee whose name is Leo, he was like a contract worker in my bar like for 4 weeks. And then there's an older lady came in age around 60 overweight. She was thinking for the reflexology at the time. And then near the end of the session, Leo accidentally spilled the massage oil on the lady's buttocks area. And he asked the lady permission to use hot towel to clean the oil for her. At the end of session, the lady also gave Leo $10 as a tip. After a couple days later, she reported to the police department as sexual assault for this activity. So, first thing is like Leo was doing reflexology things to the lady, so there's no any products on the body or something like that. And also Leo has attended two court hearings so far, and then the victim wasn't show up. So,
Mr. Shan, a question I have is, when a person does reflexology, are they sitting in a chair with their feet on the person's on a stool or in their lap on a towel, or are they lying down?
It's laying down, wearing pants.
Okay.
Wearing pants and wearing clothing as well, laying down.
I guess the question I have is, how do you drop oil on their buttocks if you're working below the knees?
That is cost of my employee, so I'm not actually inside the room, so what I acknowledge is what he described to me is like, when the lady turned over, she wearing the pants, right? And then the oil was spread on the, I think it's the top part of the leg. So it's not close to like those sensitive area. It's just on the leg area nearby the buttocks. So I'm not sure how he sprayed the oil. So that's the thing.
So, Mr. Monahan, I'm not exactly sure what we're looking at here. Could you help me with this?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. We have an individual who was, in his response, he stated that he was hiring people from out of state. He knew that they didn't have Arizona licenses. He felt that, that was okay because, you know, of the COVID situation. And it's not so much about what happened with this individual. I believe that the person who accidentally poured hot oil or whatever, that had to do with somebody who is unlicensed, or they might have been licensed in California. So we don't have jurisdiction over them. We sent them a cease and desist. And Andrew, please correct me if I'm wrong. But what we're looking at here today is the hiring of unlicensed massage therapists in his studio.
Yeah, allowing them to perform full body massages.
Yes, knowingly.
Okay, thank you. Are there other board members that would like to question Mr. Shan?
I just have a quick question. This is Kevin Ramsey, I'm a professional member. Mr. Shan, is it true that, you know, you were advertising, massage therapy while knowingly hiring unlicensed individuals?
Oh, no. I mean, like, I have my own license to practice body massage, right? And also, the three employees I hired from California, they also have the California massage license. So during the COVID things, the California was like a lockdown, stay-home orders, and massage therapy was sinking jobs all of, like, can my Anthony explain this to you?
Yes.
I'd like to try to assist Danny. His impression of the law with House Bill 2569 that would allow occupational therapists reciprocity. During the COVID situation, things were slowing down in California, and he was losing employees, that he hired these licensed people in California and believing that they had reciprocity through that House Bill 2569. As soon as he heard about the situation, he fired Leo. Apparently Leo has had a couple of court dates through a misdemeanor court here in Maricopa County, and that the victim has not shown up for any of those hearings, but the impression was through reciprocity that he was able to hire the California workers.
I would like to, Mr. Monahan, you might like to comment this because HB 2569 has not passed, nor is there any...
Madam Chair, House Bill 2569 is from 2019, and it did deal with out-of-state occupants, but more so it dealt with military, people who are in the military and their spouses and moving into areas to get licenses. You still have to be licensed, and at the end of the day, the board requires that every licensee knows the rules and laws at which they operate under, and it's their responsibility to get it right. Looking at the answer from Mr. Shannon, it's clear that he knew that what he was doing was not correct because it says that in his answer.
Thank you. And just because a person has a California license does not give them the right to practice in Arizona without an Arizona license. Mr. Augerton, would you please comment? Mr. Augerton, did you have a comment?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair and board members. Sorry, I was muted. The licensing staff deals with this all the time, and it may be too simplistic to call it cat and mouse, but that, in fact, is exactly what it is. If the priority for the Arizona board is the protection of the Arizona public, it is irrelevant if other individuals are licensed in other states or certified, as is the case of California, which, by the way, currently is not requiring the MBLEX exam. They are not allowed to practice in Arizona. And remember, we have not done a national criminal background check on individuals that have not going through the licensing vetting process here in Arizona. So if the board still believes that the protection of the public is our statutory obligation and the tools exist on the statutory books and in the board's rules, we could be doing less chasing of mice throughout the industry, throughout the state, if the board understood the ruse that happens all the times with these types of facilities. You cannot practice in Arizona with a California certification, not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, without going through the vetting process of Arizona licensure. Reciprocity has nothing to do with the incidents described this morning. Thank you, Madam Chair.
That's exactly correct. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, so I believe I will, I'm going to get your name correct, Mr. Zacuenta?
Zacuenta, yes, ma'am.
Zacuenta, do you have a closing comment?
I think the situation is that, you know, and the Attorney General there had mentioned it, is that he did, in his answer, he did respond that he was mistaken. He's sorry. He apologized. He rectified. He fired the gentleman. He also, the other people that were, that had been licensed in California. He's sorry, and that he's going to tighten up all his practices and make sure he's already kind of put in process different things that he's trying to do. We were honest in our answer and his mistaken recollection of that law. He does cite the law in his answer. That's basically our response, is that we've tightened things up. We've rectified the situation as far as the employees. And in the future, we would definitely make sure to know all the rules and follow all the rules. Like, even though he, you know, should have been doing that now, that he has tightened up his practice there. He also, there's a little bit of a language barrier. He's originally from China, and he was in even explaining to me, it was kind of hard for me to figure out exactly what was going on. So I went down there to the Litchfield Park office to check things out myself. That's basically, you know, we answered honestly. He's sorry. It won't happen again. And he wants to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, board staff, or not board staff, excuse me, board members, would we like to weigh in on what, where we would like to go with this? Mr. Monahan, I believe that at this point we can do non-disciplinary things, or we could move it forward to a formal interview, is that correct, or offer a consent agreement?
Yes, you could. Yeah, those are your options. And if you choose to move forward to a formal interview, just remember that you'll need to state potential violations of law and potential allegations. Excuse me, potential violations of law, potential findings of fact to help me to write that and for the other attorney to understand what the charges are.
Great. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Ramsey, would you like to weigh in on this case?
Yeah, this will be the first case of this nature that I've, personally sat with. It sounds pretty straightforward. You knowingly hired unlicensed Arizona, massage therapists, even though they were certified in California. You know, his interpretation of the law was incorrect. Based on the actions of running a business with unlicensed individuals, you know, there was, an incident that arose from that. So, but today we're looking at the specifics of advertising unlicensed massage, hiring unlicensed massage therapists. And so I would like to defer to maybe the more experienced members of the board to weigh in and discuss actions that we're looking at.
Great. Thank you. I'm Mr. Ortega. I would love to have you speak up on this. You have seniority.
I know it is. It's not even fun anymore to be the oldest everywhere. So anyway.
The wisest.
Okay. I'll use that.
There you go.
Well, my personal belief is we either need to move this forward or offer a consent agreement, because this to just let this go is would not be doing the public any good. He should know the rules. He should know the laws. He should know the statutes. And I can only believe this was done purposely. So I think we should move forward with this.
Move forward, John.
If we offered a consent agreement, what would you want in the consent agreement, Mr. Ortega?
That I'm not sure of. But a consent agreement or move it to a formal interview is would be my feeling on this, to get more information. Actually, in an interview, I think would be more helpful to me to just learn exactly what was going on, because it's fairly confusing. It's supposed to be reflexology, but they talked about people getting oil on their legs, and I'm just wondering, why do you need to get undressed to have your feet massaged? So anyway, that's why I would like to move it forward, just to get more information, because I find it all very murky, to say the least.
Thank you.
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. It sounds like Mr. Ortega is saying that, he believes that he need a little more information before he could, formulate a consent agreement order.
That's correct.
Okay. Then I think it would be prudent, you know, for the board to consider moving it forward to a formal interview. But again, your discretion.
Thank you. I'm somebody raised their hand, and I'm not sure who that is.
Yes, it's me. I just have two points to say. So the first thing is, does reflex solids require...
Excuse me, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but we have moved on to discussion. I don't believe it's appropriate for you to be answering any more questions or giving any more opinions.
Right. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I apologize. Thank you, John.
Miss Madam Chairman, I think he raised his hand back when we were discussing the actual topic.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and it just popped up again on my screen, so it's probably an IT techie thing. Miss Clark, would you weigh in on what is going on at this time?
Sure. It's been my experience with some of these reflexology places, which I have had the pleasure of attending on rare occasions, that not only do they do reflexology, but there are some people there that do massage as well and without a license. I believe that Mr. Shen, if I'm correctly pronouncing his last name, should have known the rules, being a business owner. He should not have hired anyone from California. He may have been under a misunderstanding about the law, but that's on him. I think we need probably a little bit more information to be able to do a consent agreement, just to make sure that we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed. But when you hire someone that does not have an Arizona license, you're in violation of the law. And when they're using oil, you should, if doing reflexology, which is a wonderful modality, puts me to sleep every time, nothing should be taking place above the knees, period. Because you don't have a license to do massage. The feet can entail the lower leg, the calf muscles. But if you're going to do anything else other than the feet and the lower legs, you must have a license. I think it would behoove us to move this forward to a formal interview to make sure that we have all the information correct before we make a final judgment call.
Thank you. Would you like to make that a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we move this case number 21-128, Danny Shan, to a formal interview.
John Ortega, I second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion.
May 24th.
Okay. We have a motion to move case 21-128, Danny Shan, to formal interview. Let's just do a vocal vote. All in favor?
Madam Chair.
Sorry for interrupting. I'm trying to get some clarification.
Okay.
I need some clarification on the motion, please. That's to proceed to formal interview based on potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the investigative report?
Correct.
Yes.
Then if I can have Mr. Ortega confirm that as the second, please.
Yes, I seconded that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Okay. Mr. Monahan, is there any other legal thing that we need to do before we take a vote?
No, you did it right.
Okay. I've got a good team. Thank you. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I did not hear. I only heard two ayes, so Mr. Ramsey?
Yeah. I said aye, but I was muted.
Okay, so we have four ayes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so board staff will be in touch with Mr. Shan and his attorney. regarding the date for this, and we will get a little more information. Thank you so much for attending today. We now have case 21-130, Mark Heward. Is Mr. Heward on? If so, please mute yourself. Or, I'm sorry, unmute yourself. Please unmute yourself. And if Mr. Heward has an attorney, please identify yourself. And then, if WW is on the line, would you please unmute yourself and let us know?
I'm here.
Okay.
WW.
Thank you. And are you represented by an attorney?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so we have our individuals forward. Ms. Cisneros?
Absolutely, Madam Chair, thank you. The board received a complaint from WW regarding a massage trade between herself and the respondent, both of which hold active massage therapy licenses in Arizona. WW alleged that she received a massage from the respondent on September 7, 2020. She stated that she asked for pectoral work, but the respondent massaged all around her breast, including the sides and under portion, and down the torso under the sheet, which made her very uncomfortable, and she was holding the sheet so it wouldn't move. WW alleged that the respondent also made inappropriate comments during the massage. WW stated that she had told the respondent 2 days prior to the massage that she was not comfortable getting the massage from him if he could not be professional, which he did promise to do. WW stated that she felt that the respondent waited for her to let her guard down and was fully relaxed to cross that professional line. WW did not render her end of the massage trade due to her negative feelings from her massage. She stated that after the massage, she felt depressed and violated and provided copies of text message exchange between herself and the respondent, all of which has been included in the board's packet for your review and consideration. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. WW, do you have any additional information to add to what we have in our packet at this time?
Yes, he also made mention at the end of the massage as we were doing the outtake. So during the massage, he told me that if I wanted any type of additional pleasure, to just tell him to go deeper. That was his code word if I wanted him to do any other type of sexual massage. And at the during the outtake, he mentioned that him and a buddy of his do this on a regular thing. This is the main way that they make their money. And it's very lucrative, and that lonely women find it appealing.
Thank you. Are there any questions for WW from board members?
Yes, Emily Clark here. WW, how long was the massage trade?
It was a 2-hour massage.
Did it go the 2 hours?
It did go the 2 hours. The first 30 minutes, the first hour was all dressed, myopractic type of work, either sitting on the table totally dressed and doing stretching, almost chiropractic type of techniques. And then the second half was a 1 hour undressed massage, and he didn't start getting inappropriate until halfway into that. So the first 90 minutes was totally appropriate.
Okay. When you first realized that it was an inappropriate situation, did you consider stopping the massage at that point?
I was totally relaxed and trusted in him at that point because it was 90 minutes in, and he was referred to me by a massage therapist that I've been working with for the last 6 years. So my guard was definitely down, and I did not consider that at that time.
Okay, that's all for now.
Are there other questions for WW?
This is Kevin Ramsey, professional member. WW, in your summary that you had sent to us, you mentioned that the two of you were texting professionally to set up a trade for the day, and then started connecting on a personal level. Would you say that this kind of meant that the conversation steered away from massage therapy and into, other topics?
It did. It steered into conversations about favorite restaurants and that kind of stuff, just friendly topics, but it did steer away from the professional topics. And, you know, I'm a very friendly, outgoing person, but it wasn't unprofessional. It wasn't solicit at all. And then we ended up just talking on the phone. We were also talking about energy work and spirituality and that kind of stuff. And then on the phone call, it did start getting a little more illicit. And that's when I ended the phone call. And that's why I texted him and told him that I would not be comfortable getting a massage from him if he could not be completely professional.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Mr. Ortega, do you have any questions of WW at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay. WW, this is Board Chair Bowman. Did you say you were hesitant 3 or 4 days before and you went ahead with the massage or with the trade anyway?
I did. In fact, my text to him was it was actually the day before. It was on September 6th at 1:01 p.m. I did say if we trade, it needs to be strictly professional. I need to feel comfortable and be able to relax while on the table, not thinking that you're looking at my body in a certain way. So it was the day before, not 3 or 4 days before, and he did confirm that he would be professional via text and then wasn't.
Okay. And I will say that we do have copies of your text, but they're so blurry that they're illegible, at least my copy.
I wonder if I could do an air screen. If you'll
okay.
Me to.
So we won't worry about that right now. Okay. Thank you. And how long have you been licensed as a massage therapist?
It'll be 10 years next month.
Thank you.
I'm also listed on the BBB with an A+ rating. I'm very passionate about massage therapy.
Thank you. Okay, well, board members, my opinion is I would like to see this go forward to a formal interview. Ms. Clark?
I totally agree with that. I think we need some more information.
John Ortega, I agree.
Okay.
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I apologize, Madam Chair. Is this, are we looking for more evidence in the form of testimony or more documentary evidence? If we need more documentation or possibly if we need the text messages in a clearer format, then I would suggest leaving this at an investigative review since the file isn't complete then. Not to Andrew's fault. I want to make that clear. Sorry, Andrew.
Right. I'm comfortable with, for me, I would like to interview Mr. Howard, or Heward, excuse me, Heward. And I would also like to have clear text messages to see as well. So I'm comfortable with postponing this investigative review until a further date so that we can procure that information and perhaps request that Mr. Heward shows up.
Okay. Is that a motion or just for discussion?
I think it's for discussion at this time.
Okay.
I'm in complete agreement with the chair.
Okay. Mr. Ortega, are you willing to wait and get more information before we move it to an interview, formal interview?
If that's the board's feeling on it, that's fine. I have no problem with it going to an interview, though.
Okay. So I would move that we request clear copies of the text messages and bring this before the board again to continue our investigative review and notify Mr. Heward that his presence would be appreciated.
And I do believe we could get that done probably by the next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
If the board wants to do it next meeting.
Yeah, okay. When she sent me the texts, they came out perfectly clear on the computer. But when I went to do the images, they shrunk. And I tried to change it, and I tried everything to do to bring them big, make them bigger, but they would not do it.
Okay.
So maybe I might have to send
maybe
them over to
Mr.
Tony.
Wilcox. Yeah, maybe Mr. Wilcox can help us with that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Madam Chair. I'm sorry, before you take a vote,
Cheryl.
I just wanted to ask if you wanted to entertain any further board discussion before you get to the vote. That's typically the process
okay.
that you follow when a motion and second has been made.
Okay. Is there any additional discussion and or request for information before we vote?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then if I can clarify for the motion, it's to request clear copies of the text exchange between the two parties and return to the board at a future meeting to continue the investigative review and also request that the respondent participate at that time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a vote now. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? The motion passes. So board staff will let us know when we have the information, get it in our packet, and also when case 21-130 comes back before us. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. License requests, we have none. Executive Director's Report. Mr. Augerton, would you update us on what's happening with our board?
Well, within the confines of what we posted here on the agenda, we've already taken care of number A, which was the presentation by the Arizona Auditor General. If you would attend to number B, this is the issue of the delegate from Arizona for 2021 to the FSMTB annual meeting. Last year, the board nominated Kevin Ramsey, and he was the official Arizona delegate, but because of the COVID pandemic, his experience was virtual as opposed to actual. And as of today, the FSMTB does not know yet whether the meeting will be virtual again this year or whether it will be in person in Raleigh, North Carolina. But regardless, we still do need to provide a delegate name to FSMTB. By July the 1st, and we don't know, again, whether the meeting will be online or be in North Carolina.
Thank you. I know that I attended twice, and I believe Ms. Clark has attended twice, and Mr. Ramsey has only attended once, but he attended virtually, which it's a little bit sad because they're kind of neat to go to. So I think what I would like to suggest is that we put this off until our May meeting, which gives us 60 days to see how the COVID experience is going on, and hopefully that it will be an in-person event in North Carolina, in which case I would perhaps like to ask Mr. Ramsey if he would be willing to do that again. But I would just like to postpone this. Is there any objection through for other board members on that suggestion? Mr. McLean, you're back. Welcome back.
Thank you. I don't see any reason to wait in recommending Kevin. You know, he's been very active with the organizations that represent your trade. As you mentioned, you've each have done it twice, so I think whether it's virtual or in person shouldn't really make a difference, as I think Kevin would be a great representative.
Thank you.
Board members, yes. I apologize. This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. This matter is not set for board action today. It's just set for review and discussion. So to your point, Madam Chair, it would be prudent to move it forward.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. So let's move this forward, and we will make a decision on it. We will put it on active board status for our either the April meeting or the May meeting, depending upon how stuffed it is with board business. Okay, Mr. Augerton?
Madam Chair, let me at least apologize on that, because we did review the agenda earlier with the Attorney General's office, and he advised to add the word action in the declarative sentence that starts this category. And we had three or four different versions, and we did not take action to include the word action, so I apologize.
Okay.
That way you would have been able to have done something today. On item number C, most of you have already received communication from me indicating that the city of Tucson is moving ahead, but they've taken additional time, and they will not be doing the work session with the city council and the public on April the 6th. So Lieutenant Hand asked if we would delay that presentation and update by him to this board until a little bit later time. I anticipate we'd hear back from him probably in a month. So that would not be heard today either.
Okay, thank you.
Lastly, Madam Chair, item number D, I just wanted to basically let you know that the letter was sent to the governor's office on March the 4th. A copy was sent to each of your end baskets this morning. And I don't know if Tony's able to put that up on the screen presentation or not. It's not critical. But the purpose of this being on the agenda is to let you know that we are currently in a wait mode to hear back from the governor's office subsequent to the letter that you all approved having been sent to the ninth floor. So we cannot take any action until we get a response. When we do receive a response, the board will be informed, and then we'll move ahead. Any questions, Madam Chair, on that issue from the board or yourself?
No, I realize while GERC is an active ongoing thing, I guess we are in a holding pattern until they approve what we have been suggesting.
Well, Madam Chair, let me just make a slight clarifying comment. With the way that the annual moratorium on rulemaking executive order has been issued for this calendar year, we as the board are actually required to submit both the topic and substance of the proposed rule change first to the governor's office before it proceeds to the Secretary of State's office and to the governor's regulatory review council. So what we're waiting on now is a response to the letter that we have submitted, which has been reviewed, but we did not yet have a response on requesting permission to move ahead with those proposed rule changes. Subsequent to the response from the governor's office, we then are required to do public posting with the Secretary of State's office and then go back to the governor's office, and then from there we submit to GERC. And I apologize for making this sound like it's a Rube Goldberg device, for those of you old enough to remember who that was. But this is the procedure under the current executive order that we're following right now.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, summary of current events. At this time, I do not have any current events. Is there any one of the board that has some current event that they need to bring up at this time?
This is Kevin Ramsey. I wanted to kind of put out there and discuss, and anybody else who's on the call today, I've been reached out by a few individuals who, you know, maybe search the board website and kind of find my name and then find me through, you know, regular social access, whether it be media or email, whatever it is. And they often ask me about, you know, what do they do if they, you know, drive past what they think is an illicit business, or if they know that there's an illicit business going on. And I would just like to be able to kind of, you know, in this public meeting, be able to have people, anybody who's available, be able to speak on what is their best course of action. You know, if they're concerned about an individual or a business, you know, should they go to the police? Should they come to us? What is going to be the most effective course of action for them to take and really address their concerns, again, to really ensure that you know, we have the public interest and protection in mind.
Okay, thank you. I think that probably goes under item 8, discussion and possible actions for future massage board agendas. Mr. Monahan, perhaps that would be something that I know I get questions as well, and I just typically say get in touch with board staff. But
absolutely, Madam Chair, okay. If you would like to discuss something like that, you could discuss that. You know, maybe even producing, you know, something on the website that just shows, you know, where should I go, what should I do if this has happened. I don't see a problem with that if that's what the board would like to do.
Okay. Mr. McLean, did you raise your hand?
No, ma'am. That was from previous. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Just don't want to overlook you. Okay. So, thank you. Let's put that on a future board agenda and come up with some really great suggestions. Thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Okay, our next Arizona Massage Board meeting date will be Monday, April 26, 2021 at 9 a.m., and it will be video at this time. And now, action item 10, call to the public, pursuant to ARS. Yes?
I'm so sorry for interrupting. I keep trying to raise my hand, but I don't know where I'm at on the video here.
Well, I think mine is slightly delayed, so I apologize for that as well. Go ahead.
Thank you. If we can just double back really quick to item 8, discussion of possible items for a future meeting, if Mr. Ramsey can confirm or clarify for me, I just want to make sure that I have this discussion item listed properly in the minutes, because that's most likely what will be used to place it on a future agenda. What I did capture was proper course of action for individuals that suspect a business to be performing illicit practices.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, and did you want to include in that, I think that's fine, because then as long as we list it on the agenda as an action item when it's discussed in the future, you guys should be okay with coming up with like something that you're trying to establish to post on the website or something like that. So long as staff agendizes it as an action item, then the board will have a chance to make a vote and give direction from that aspect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Narrows. Mr. Augerton, do you want to comment?
Yes, please. Thank you, Madam Chair, board members.
Yes.
I need to inform you that we received an email a few days ago from the governor's office, and they were querying with all the boards and commissions about the possible ending of the governor's emergency order on COVID. And I wanted to suggest to the chair and to the board members that we probably need to put the issue of the 24 hours of continuing education, which is currently waived, on the very next agenda in the event that the governor's executive order is rescinded or ended in the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever. But it is beginning to appear as if that executive order from 2020 will conclude this calendar year. And so I wanted to let you know it's coming, and we're going to need to bring this issue back before you to get for guidance on how you would like us to proceed with the implementation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros?
Madam Chair, to piggyback a little bit on Mr. Augerton's comment that he made, if the board would want to place that for a future agenda item, I would suggest that you sort of broaden that scope so that it's not just limited to that specific waiver. In case if there's any other waivers that the board currently has in place at the moment, then your discussion can be larger than that at the next meeting. Just some food for thought. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So let's put on our future agenda item that how do we as a massage board respond to the lifting of an executive order from COVID. There's several different things going on there. So just how do we respond to the lifting of it and each item that might be addressed there? Is that better, Ms. Cisneros?
One suggestion I would have is for you to list it as an agenda item. Maybe the caption can read, review, discussion, and consideration of current waivers based on the potential of the emergency orders being lifted. Something in that realm, since that's going to be the scope of your discussion.
Andrea, and I apologize for jumping in, but, you know, I will work with board staff to create the specific language that we need for those sections. So if you just provide enough information so that we know exactly what you want to talk about, then we can make it not too narrow, not too vague. But I'll write that language up for them.
That's
so
you don't have
to formulating it now.
And so I would like to comment also on Mr. Ramsey's request, and that is, as board members, not only the information that's on the website, but we represent the board, not individuals. And so how we should specifically respond to someone asking us, I think that needs to be part of that discussion as well. So let's be sure that that's inclusive. Okay. Have we handled all that business now? Are you comfortable, Mr. Augerton or Ms. Cisneros?
Yes, thanks, Chair Manager.
Absolutely. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. Moving on to call to public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting, subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions, to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Is there anyone present at this time that would like a call to the public? Okay, I have someone that's raised their hand, and I don't know who you are, but your initial on the screen is L.
Hi, this is Laura Embleton.
Ms. Embleton?
Yes.
You have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I am the Laura Embleton, and I'm the Government Relations Director for Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah, I thought I had it up, and I've got my headset on. Is this better?
Maybe if you can remove the headset.
Remove it? I'll give it a try.
Is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. So I'm Laura Embleton. I'm the National Government Relations Director for Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals, and I appreciate you guys allowing us to participate in the meeting today. And wanted to let you know, just from where we are, I will be submitting a letter to Tucson regarding their establishment licensing ordinance that they're proposing. And working with you guys when you do the rules when you get the rules out for public comment. We're here to help work with you guys to make sure everything's, you know, that it works well for massage therapists while you're also doing the making sure that the public is protected. So thank you for letting us participate. I appreciate the work that you all do, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any other call to public? Okay, is there a motion to yes?
It does look like another individual has their hand raised, but I can't see what their name. Initials are DT.
Okay, it's not on my screen. There is someone. Would you unmute yourself and please announce your name or initials?
Madam Chair, I believe the hand that's raised was for Laura and not for the individual adjacent.
Okay.
My apologies. Okay. It's the way it comes up on my screen. Thank you for clarifying that, Tom.
Okay. Thank you. Any other call to public? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn our meeting?
Emily Clark, I make a motion that we adjourn till next month.
Victoria Bowman, I second that. Let's have a vocal vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, it is now 12:10, and the meeting is adjourned.